So do you all have these three pages that are going as a supplement? Two, but they're two is three. So we're turning this morning into dyads, my favorite. So you might look at page 65 and 67. There's instructions for dyads and your dyad checklist. And these are a synthesis coming over from your level one manual. And we've got these two expressions, LWED and OWL. LWED, locate, welcome, experience, describe, and awareness, opposites, welcoming everything just as it is. So let me say a little bit about dyads as a review, but also hopefully to deepen your understanding. In level one, we took the dyads one at a time, for kosha, and then we, at the end of the training, we turned into doing all the koshas simultaneously. In this training, it's a full-on use of the whole protocol. So we never know where we're going. So I think of it as stream entry. I am sitting with the person, and I'm saying to them, what brings you here today? Whatever they give me, I am entering into the stream with them, and I'm going to start to surf the iREST protocol. Always thinking of whatever they give me, are they feeling it in their body? Can I ground it into their body? By the way, I didn't say good morning. Good morning. I think we're all a little late arriving this morning, or at least some of us are. So it's stream entry to me, and it's co-meditation. That's the way I think of the dyads, co-meditating. However, the accent is on the other person in terms of where the focus is, but your focus is evenly divided between them and yourself, whereas their focus is primarily on themselves. So you're having to keep track of your own resonance, both as what you're resonating from them into your body, what their presence is evoking in your body, and your response or your reactivity to whatever it is you're feeling. And watch how you get fused with some of the beliefs that you start to take to be true when you're doing a dyad. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have a clue where we should go. What the heck is happening? Hey, believe me, I'm doing the same thing you are. I'm sitting here with whoever I'm with going, where are we going with this? I mean, I got a clue. So you're having to really meet yourself in a meditative way. You're doing iREST on yourself as you're helping them use the protocol to explore themselves. So think of it as co-meditation. And you're just basically saying, can you welcome this? And if you can't welcome it, what else is present? Aversion? Refusing, can you welcome that? Oh, you can't welcome your refusing. Okay, can you welcome your non-refusing? Or, you know, we're just helping them step back far enough that finally they can have a sense of welcoming whatever it is that's coming in. So everything, as far as I'm concerned, are messengers. And I always feel like we're moving from the gross to the subtler level, and it takes time. So sometimes it's just a process of sitting with something that a person is presenting and slowly moving down to a deeper ground. A simple way I frame it in my mind is I'm just helping them loosen their attention so they have more free attention to ultimately, if there's interest, explore the ground of being. So there's a letting go of the attachments to the foreground activities, because I'm framing a person who's coming to me for eye rest is they want to learn meditation. If you keep it in that frame, then it sets a context for the work that you're helping them meet and greet and be with whatever it is that they're fusing and binding into that's distracting them from feeling their greater vastness. And so, in a way, the content of consciousness is being liberated as they meet and greet and welcome everything into awareness. It self-liberates, then free attention is present either just to explore and be happy because I'm no longer bound up in all these fusions and enmeshments, and that's the multitude of people. They'll just say, I feel great, thank you, and they'll go off into their life. Or those few who will keep going and they'll sense something else is here, and then we can help them dive into this exploration in the later stages of the protocol of their absolute formlessness and help them meet deeper movements within their psyche about being in control. And how do I meet the moment? And every moment we have a perfect response to each situation. So we're helping people get into deeper understandings. Important consideration. When we're doing group delivery, we are interweaving pure awareness and we're calling and inviting people to step back. In an individual dyad, we aren't necessarily. Because we're going with the flow, we aren't necessarily trying to direct them anywhere. Although we might stop them every once in a while and say, is there anything else here that you might be aware of that you're not speaking about? And then they might themselves call in a sense of presence, in which case we can help them call it out. Or we might ask them if they'd like to make an experiment, which is to take a moment and step back. What we want to be aware of, though, is if we do ask them for that kind of intervention, one, do they take it? Is it interesting to them? Two, if they do take it, does it confuse them and shut down their process, or does it help deepen them into their work? And I'm always ready to make an experiment with the person and then to drop it if I see it shutting down the process. So my own intuition is at work, and I might ask a person if they'd like to make that kind of an experiment, but if it fails, I will just simply drop it and say, oh, you know what, just throw that away, whatever I just said. Come back to where you are. What's most important to you? Because I might have misperceived something. So the fallback question is, can you say more about that? We want these open-ended questions, which we have in your checklist. Things like, what's present for you in this moment? What wants to emerge right now? What's most important that's calling your attention? What sensations or feelings are present right now in your body? As you're talking about that belief that you're taking to be true, is there an emotion that co-arises with it in your body? So we're trying to open to questions that open them to themselves. A yes or no question can shut down the process, and we can't go very far. So does that make sense about the piece about inviting them to step back. In the three-page handout I gave you, the addendum to your book, we do have it as a piece if we're doing a structured cookie-cutter dyad, which we did in level one. But I'm not asking you to do a cookie-cutter process here. You're welcome, if you're not too familiar with dyads, to follow the script and use the black parts to prompt the person you're working with and slowly get comfortable again being able to draw from the different elements of the protocol. But eventually I'd love you to be able to throw that away, and maybe all you keep in front of you is the 10 steps, so you can every once in a while look at them and say, ooh, I've forgotten about body sensing. Or, ooh, I wonder if there's a belief that goes along. Or is there an image? We'll get into imagery more starting tomorrow when Kelly, that's your name, right? When Kelly does her, what are you doing tomorrow? When she works tomorrow, she's gonna work some with images and pull some out. But they're very important when we're working in dyads to ask for, is there an image that's present that best represents what you're experiencing right now? Imagery allows people to kind of get a handle on the emotion, so we can ask, if it were to walk through the door right now, what might it look like? How is it dressed? Is it an animal, plant, mineral, vegetation? Is it, you know, what is it? What comes to you? Can we get a microphone over to Mary?
When you said yes, no questions don't work, is a why question bad too? Not bad. Doesn't work. Because I know with kids, when they misbehave, why did you do that? They don't know why.
Right.
And it shuts it down.
Right.
Is
so you're answering your own question.
It's a why, it's a no. It's not a...
No, no. Be willing to make experiments.
Oh.
Sometimes a why opens a door. What I see is often it kind of closes the door, because it puts somebody into an intellectual, what or a how. We're trying to move them into their experience and help them describe. Whys aren't descriptions often. Hows and whats are. There are times when a why is very important. Why are you practicing eye rest? Now I'm fishing for your heartfelt desire. So we don't want to throw any question out the door. We always want to have a flexibility. There is no right or wrong. It's more a question, in this moment, does this question serve the person? Rather than shut them down. So be willing to try it out. And if you see everything shutting down, just say, oh, throw that one away. And it's your ability to stay loose and flexible and open that's important. Because that's what you're helping them to do when they might have felt closed.
Can you discuss a little bit about using opposites when you're in dyads?
Yes, very good. Thank you very much.
And another quick question, too, is then also, do you deal with, how do you bring people in? Do you want us to deal with the body sensing, sort of breath sensing, and then go into this? So those are
okay.
My two.
So you hold the second question while I hold the first, and then bring me back. My brain's not all here yet. Well, it's good if we're doing dyads not to have our brain present. what was the first question? Opposites. What I am aware of when I'm working with a person's opposites just start bubbling up spontaneously. And it's uncanny how they just start to flash in when you're oriented towards what opposites are. And as you notice them, write them down, because the person isn't aware that they're working with an opposite. And then you can actually spontaneously ask them, could you say more about that? Oh, and you know that other thing you were saying before you said that? Could you come back to this and just say a little bit about this? Oh, and
you are kind of flipping back.
So you could flip back right there. The only time I really bring in an opposite as an experiment is if I have an intuition, one that'll help move the process further, or if it feels like everything's just kind of stagnating and it's been stagnant for a while, then I might say, would you be willing to make an experiment? If this were no longer true, what might be here instead? And what would you be feeling in your body? And what would that be like? So, and then again, we want to watch, does that intervention kickstart something or does it shut it down? But a lot of times, whatever a person is presenting me with, I'll just stay with it for a long period of time before I'll work an opposite. Because the opposites can, sometimes when we work with, when we intervene with them prematurely, a person gets a premature answer and it feels right. But it's more surface and there's more underneath it. So we just want to make sure that if we start to get an integration, we're aware of it might be up here and there's a deeper place. Had we stayed with the process, it would have gone down there. So we do opposites, then we come back, and that might release us to a new level. We do an opposite, it releases us to a new level, and we can keep surfing down. The second one is, do I do body sensing? Sometimes. Especially when a newbie comes in and they don't know much about the process, but they've heard about it and heard certain things, and they said, you know, would you eye rest me? But we're getting into a dyad. So I might say, well, you know, take a minute and just sense your mouth or sense your, you know, and help them relax a little bit into it and then dive in. So again, that's your choice. I tend to work fairly quickly, so I don't tend to spend a lot of time doing that unless I feel it's really necessary. But I was working with a little boy the other day, and as we were working, I actually had him, would you just take a moment and close your eyes and just sense what's going on in your body right now? What's happening in your mouth? And it helped kind of bring him in to himself. But that's a very good question. Watch how you use opposites. We're not using them as a club to get the person to unfold themselves. We're using in a very supportive way. I just want to see if there's anything else I'd like to cover here. I've talked about it before, but I tend to keep Kleenex to the side. Sometimes if somebody is crying, I'll take some Kleenex and hold it in my hand, or I might just gently put it on their lap. But I've noticed sometimes when I used to just hand them the box right away or hand them, it shut the process down. So I'm happy for a person to cry all over their shirt and get all wet. And if they need a Kleenex, they'll open their eyes and say, do you have any Kleenex? And I say, sure. But sometimes I will hand it to them. There was one other thing that was along that same line, but I can't. Oh, breathing. People ask me oftentimes during these dyads, why didn't you pay attention to their breathing, call attention to their breathing? Same reason. What I have seen is if I do, sometimes it shuts the process right down. People use the breath as a defense to defend against feeling. That said, I'm watching their breath, and every once in a while I will call a person's attention to their breathing. But I'm just watching again. Is it shut it down? Is it then taken as a defense? And the whole kind of process just comes to a halt. So it's just your own willingness to feel comfortable and make experiments. I call my business before I called it integrative restoration, I called it explorations in stillness. That's all I think of when I'm sitting with a person. We're just exploring, no idea where we're going. And I'm just trying to join them and move with them. And when they get stuck and stagnant, I sit there in their stagnation with them. And what I see, if I sit there long enough with them, something begins to move again. So you've got to have a great tolerance for stagnant waters. All right, so Jamie is going to be my guest, and while she's coming up, Mira's got a question, and Val's got a question. And is Jamie here? Jamie's here. You want me to come over and sit with you? You come over here?
How do you suggest we use the worksheets in a dyad situation? Do we actually hand the worksheet to the person, have them fill it out with their opposites of emotion, or is that just for our own background understanding?
I use the worksheets more for teaching classes and workshops, but not in a dyad. Although I do have a clipboard in my office with spare paper on it for them, and so oftentimes I can see they're looking for something to write on, and I'll say, would you like some paper and a pencil? And then they'll write down. And that's a good, at the end of a dyad, I often want to bridge homework. So I'll say, do you want to take a couple minutes and just write down any thoughts that you had? And I'll help you remember them, and I can walk a person through using my notes so that they can write them down. Or I'll give them a specific piece of homework as a suggestion. You know, between now and the next time we meet, you might reflect on this belief that just came. Or take some time with your own eye rest and just feel into those sensations that came up. But don't try to analyze them. Just sit with them. And Val.
No, it's okay. You answered it.
Okay. And as you know, I have a notepad because I don't have to remember them.